Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead, pop off, me and my clique put on. I'm like a young McMahon, I'm here to get your bitch off. Like I'm Ripley, little finger to the big boss. Man, a.k.a. police, cause I'm over your head like it's all. Chill these niggas, that's no problem. Chill these niggas, want no problem. That chopper body like Hornswoggle, can't see you shot him like Sin Cara. Rolling rap with that shit loud, it ain't mine if that shit not. Ladies hate when I rip rude, but they in love with this Jake Bob. Like nah, say hello to my python. I'm CM Punk with that mic, y'all. She go to sleep cause my pipe bomb. Winning, blessed I be hurting feelings. Niggas see Curtis Axel, so my rap is like Kurt Henning. In it, don't it, I'm such a charmer. Come crown Vic, not talking whip, I'm thinking Lawler. Cause I'm royalty, but we talking cars, it's not a problem. Just bought two big bodies, call them Kamala and Umaga. What up? You're talking to the back guy. My gang real, but I ain't never been no vampire. Look at all that ice he got on. Bigger than that icy title. Bigger than my pill, man, cause I still feel like I'm flying Brian. Who high as I am? Who fly as I am? Life is a bitch, but you this rich is more than life in China. Get it? Strong ass hoe. Niggas say they want that smoke. Well, I'm Papa Shango. I'll be hover playing low. Get the ganja, no steamboat. And I fly as a cross. Body, but I'm tired of saying so. So I do so with new producers and a slew of my latest verses. And a ruthless like Rusev move, I'll be through with you niggas first. Get back to work. You're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. I'm too sweet. I dare you niggas act fly. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Yeah.
Welcome to Wrestling It Factor Radio. Yeah. Your host, Wayne Benitez. How's it going, wrestling fans? You have a special guest, yes. They are the main event. Duke Davis. Gannon Jones Jr.
What's going on?
Everything's good. Everything's good here at Wrestling Impact the Radio. Yes.
All right, just making sure, man.
Yes. Yes. The home of black excellence in wrestling. Yes. It's an honor for y'all to be on.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for plugging us in, man.
Yes. Yes. Were y'all wrestling fans growing up?
Yeah. All my life, basically, was the major part. When I was a kid, I used to watch NWA, WCW a lot. I didn't have cable, so NWA and WCW is all I had most of the time. So I grew up watching Ric Flair and Tully Blanchard, Four Horsemen, and Sting and all of them. That's how I fell in love with tag team wrestling.
Yeah, similar for me all my life, basically, growing up. Similar to Duke, I was a WCW kid. I wasn't into WWF until a little bit later. So while, you know, DX and them were running wild on, you know, WWF, I was more interested in NWO over on Nitro. So, yeah, definitely lifelong fan. So.
Yes. Yes. The National Wrestling Alliance was the also the other most dangerous wrestling group besides, you know, the NWA rap group. Yes. Did both of y'all have a athletic background before pro wrestling? Any other sports?
I'll let
Gannon
take
it from
first.
Yeah, basketball was always my my sport. I've been playing it, you know, since I was, I don't know, 5 or 6, whenever they roll you in the little junior leagues or whatever. But I played that the whole way through middle school, high school. And then even my first year of college, and then was finally like, all right, you know, this kind of ran its course. You know, it's fun to play pickup games here and there, but I'm kind of done with the whole organized basketball thing. And, you know, I knew that wasn't my future. And it was more of me just being a fan of it and love playing it. And I think that's why I played for so long. And I did play football briefly. I only played my senior year of high school, and then I played one season of semi-pro after college. It was like a weird thing. Like, I never played college football, and I only played 1 year of high school football, but somehow got wrangled into playing for a local semi-pro team. It was really weird.
That's so crazy. Every time I hear a story, I'm like, how do you just go from – he went from high school to the league.
Yeah, like, oh, and we need a. Can you play defensive end? I'm like, yeah, I can take down some quarterbacks. Let's do it. So,
right.
Like, with
natural,
you know,
ability.
Right, like, you know, I can still do that for sure. So, and that, yeah, so that's my background. I think everyone played a little baseball when they were little, but yeah, basketball and football really.
Yeah. Started for me real early when I was like 7. But first organized sport I ever played, or first organized anything, was wrestling. I wrestled for 2 years when this first thing that they, I guess, would help me with football on the way. So I wrestled first and then got into football because I love hitting people. And I did that all the way up to I played football all the way through high school and all the way through college. And I did like a little trial for Arena League, but I was just done with camps. So that football dream died a little bit after college.
Yes. Definitely pro football has an effect on pro wrestling also. By most of the wrestling talent came from, you know, basically the football background and also MMA.
Okay.
Yeah. Wrestling, and I think Taker was Taker played basketball. Taker and Kevin Nash played basketball at the University of Tennessee. He was a big baller. But, you know, sports got a lot to do with wrestling. Kind of go hand in hand.
Yes, and definitely Big Show playing at Wichita State also before pro wrestling.
Yeah, very true.
Hey, real quick, man, how long you been doing your radio show?
It's been going on for 6 years now. We've been doing it for 6 years. Me and Tommy Two Chips, basically. He's MIA tonight.
He didn't want to be on with the main event. I feel him. I get it. It's cool.
Yeah, he has obligations the last minute.
Yes,
the main event.
Where you from?
Main
man,
event is the future. Right. Yeah, y'all. Y'all definitely doing y'all thing. I like the way y'all promote yourselves. Got the attire, got the gear also for the fans also.
Yeah, man, we are. Yeah, we have all our Chiefs pros and our eyes dotted.
Yes. What was it like? Working with behind the scenes Bruce Pritchard also.
Hold on a second, I couldn't hear. Say that again.
What was it like meeting Bruce Pritchard and doing shows with him also?
It it was cool. I mean, we met him backstage at IWC, International Wrestling Cartel. We met him there in Pittsburgh, so it was cool. And he was doing a seminar. He was also like a little bit part of the show, doing some guest general manager. So it was pretty cool, you know. Real quick conversation with him. It was pretty cool meeting him.
That's awesome, amazing, and definitely IWC is definitely a good indie promotion also out there, basically.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's been kind to us. You know, I feel like it's really gotten given us opportunities to get more eyes on us. You know, I would go as far as to say it's the top promotion in Pennsylvania, at least Western PA. I mean, on a consistent basis, you know, month after month, you know, they've been on top for a while. They just had, was it the 18th anniversary?
Yep, 18th anniversary last month.
Yeah, so they've been doing it for a while, and you know, always, you know, breaking their own records as far as, you know, seats and attendance and things like that. So super good promotion. Like I said, it's given us opportunities and put more eyeballs on us than previously, you know, than we had.
Yeah.
Yeah. This what is it? April 13th. We actually got a chance. We actually have a chance to wrestle with MVP in a 6-man tag. So it's gonna be pretty awesome out there in Meadville, PA. It's gonna be another big thing that's coming up.
Yes. Yeah, another big baller himself also, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, he started this stuff. He was, you know, that's one of Gannon's favorite wrestlers and one of the people I looked at, you know, there's that many black people on television, you know what I mean? So the fact that he was up there made it a little bit more real for us to make it, you know what I mean? So he's an OG in this game.
Yes, he is, definitely.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, mostly definitely an inspiration. He's actually, like Duke was saying, he's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. Like, everyone talks about their Ric Flairs and Shawn Michaels and stuff. He's up there for me, like top five for me for sure. And he's one of my biggest inspirations for getting into wrestling and not just being a fan of it. You know, watching him at the age I was watching him, I was about 16, 17 when he debuted. And he was just so much more relatable than a lot of other wrestlers at the time. Like, I honestly felt like, you know, watching him, I was like, man, I feel like this could be me, like this. And he didn't make it seem so, you know, such a far stretch for me to be able to pursue this, you know, growing up seeing Kane and Undertaker and these larger than life people, you're like, you know, they're on such a high pedestal. But I felt, you know, MVP was more of a, like for the people, you know, for the culture type of dude. And at the time that really wasn't a thing, you know, so it was definitely refreshing to have him, you know, come out and pave the way for folks like us.
Yes, he's been all over to every promotion, like Japan, Ring of Honor, Impact, basically. He took it at a whole novel level also.
Yeah, definitely.
And what's your memories of your first ever debut match?
Singles or as a tag team?
Tag team.
As a tag team?
Yes.
Yes.
Our first debut match, we ranked that probably as one of our best matches that we've ever had, because it is the first time that we actually wrestled as a tag team. It was called a Benefit Brawl. It was in Salisbury, PA. And we felt like that was the time where it's kind of like, yeah, man, we can do this. you know, because before we weren't doing, like, tag team stuff, we were kind of, like, beating people up and, like, doing run-ins and stuff like that. This was actually a tag team match where we had to lose two out of three falls and kind of open our eyes that, man, we can do something with this, you know, starting out. That was 2 years ago. 2 years ago, yeah, March 20th, I think. Might be wrong on the date, but it was March of 2017 when we decided to make that move.
Awesome, definitely. And definitely it's so many a lot of African American tag teams basically in wrestling today. A lot more.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of guys out there tagging. As far as, like, on television, you know, it's a little bit different, you know what I mean? But there's a lot of guys on the scene, indie scene, doing some great stuff. So you just got to look for it, that's all. A lot of people don't look for tag team wrestling.
Exactly. It needs to be more, basically, and it seemed like WWE, they trying to improve it, basically, from the NXT brand to bring up to the main roster to expand more.
With WWE, what it feels like, and I don't know if I'm right in this, but I feel like a lot of the black people in WWE that are, you know, putting themselves in a position to succeed are kind of doing it on their own. Like, I mean, you look at, you know, Kofi, you look at New Day and kind of the way that they brought the last, like, few months, you know, that was something that, you know, the people and the internet and their hard work kind of put into motion, you know, more than, you know, Vince saying, oh, well, let's push these guys. Like, I don't really think that's what it is. Same with Velveteen and same with Ricochet. Like, I feel like these guys are just, you know, hard-ass workers, and at some point you can't deny it. It's like, well, they're really good and people want to see them, so, like, we have to put them in the spotlight. So it's one of those things where, you know, we're kind of forcing ourselves into the spotlight with it, you know, which is, you know, I'm okay with.
Yeah. That's the piggyback of what you said is, you know, when you come from an indie scene, like, you know, Kofi comes from an independent scene. You know what I mean? He cut his teeth in the independent. So he knows how to self-promote. You know, a lot of guys that don't come from the indie scene, they don't know that feels to have to self-promote or stand out from the crowd when it's a little different when you start at a higher level, you know, start out at a big level. You know, some guys, they don't feel like they need to push because the machine is behind them. You know, for us, we got to push. We have no choice, you know, because we don't have a machine. We got to create our own. And I think that's why New Day is so unique, because all three of them together push the envelope, you know. People may like them, people may love them, people may hate them, but at least they got a feeling for them. And that's the key, have a feeling.
Yes.
Type of most.
Right. And definitely Street Profits also getting a lot of that's another black tag team at NXT also. They're definitely doing good work also, and also traveling to Evolve Wrestling also to get that more extra experience.
You talking about Street Profits?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Those guys doing some great stuff, man. Staying busy, man. Like, you know, they came, because both of them, I mean, one of them were, I think, but one of them were singles, and then they came together as a tag team. And if you notice, man, like, when you come together as a tag team, you get more eyes on you because you look different than any other tag team. Automatically, you look different when you come out of the curtain. And then when you have a swagger about you, or you have a nice, what they say, gimmick or whatever, people start to take notice. And they're not wrestling. They're doing, like you said, they're going to evolve and going to a lot of other places and staying busy. That's the one, the thing. Like, that's because you get up there, don't mean you need to just stick around and see what they're going to give you. You know what I mean? They're staying busy and staying active, even on social media.
Right. Also, you also worked with BJZ and Andrew Pilots. What was that like working with a veteran like BJZ?
Educational. that guy knows everything. You know, working with him was awesome. It's you know, me and Duke, I had this conversation on the way home. It was more for tag teams, but, I mean, it applies with really anything. There's just a different vibe and a different aura when you're in the ring with someone who is just at that level. You feel it instantly. You know, as soon as that bell rings, you're like, oh, okay, it's going to be one of those matches. Or, okay, I see what's going on here. And that, you know, unfortunately isn't always the case. You'd like it to be, but, you know, being there with someone like DJZ was, you know, incredible. He's one of those guys who is good at everything. He really doesn't have any chinks in his armor, and if he does, he doesn't let him show. So, you know, like I said, it was definitely educational, and it was a great experience to be in there in one of his final matches. You know, this year.
Yeah, educational. He taught us a lot about just being in the moment, presence, and most importantly, man, like, I think a lot of the time, even us, we get wrapped up in the stuff that we're doing sometimes and kind of forget about the fun thing. And if you watch DJZ, he looks like he's having a great time out there. And, you know, even Andrew Palace, you know, his motto is let's have fun. And it's just like, you know, you go out there, you want to have fun, but you can learn while having fun at the same time. Some people forget that. And that's what we took from that match. We're just like, man, we came out of it saying, hey, we can go at that level with a guy that's going to the show. You know what I mean? That's been everywhere that, you know, we want to go. And I was just grateful. We were just grateful to have the match. You know what I'm saying? He didn't have to have, you know, because he had just had a match in California the night before. And you couldn't tell if you watched the match that he, you know, he had a match before. Like, he had a 16-hour, I think he had like some type of crazy flight to Pittsburgh. He had a layover in Chicago. He was tired. But you watched that match, you can't tell that he was tired or anything. Those lights come on, you better be ready to go when you're in the ring with DJZ. You better be ready.
Yes, definitely, yes. Yeah, it's just like back in the days during the territory times, they was on the road so many times and doing working two or three times a day, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even the ones like Ric Flair, basically, and he's basically, it's his life wrestling nonstop, basically, and he was basically that badass, and he still going basically. It was basically hard for him to retire basically from wrestling basically. It was tough.
Yeah, I mean, he loved wrestling. You know, that's all he did since he was like 20 years old. His whole life was wrestling. You know, from elementary school all up, you know, all he did was wrestle, you know, and you know, he got a chance to actually do it for a living, you know, when they're cutting them checks and paying you good money to do what you love, yeah, it's kind of hard to leave that. It's not like an everyday 9-to-5 job, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a different feeling, you know what I'm saying, when you get something out of what you're doing.
Yeah. Yes, he's definitely another one, basically, that the mainstream know about it, and a lot of A lot of athletes to this day also pay homage to him during if it's a football game, basketball, or any other sport.
Yep. Because he's so flashy. Like I say, man, it goes back to having something that everybody can just recognize. You know, like Gannon was talking about, MVP came out, he resonated with us. You know what I'm saying? Like when Ric Flair came out, he did the same thing. Like he resonated with us. He had a thing about him that made you want to watch him. And that's key when you're in this business, having something that people want to care about you.
Right.
Anybody can put tight in.
Right. What's your thoughts on working with Punk Rock All Stars?
What's your thoughts on who?
I'm working with Punk Rock All Stars.
Who's Punk Rock All Stars?
I was their other name is the Meta Beta Rho Omega. It's like a fraternity group.
The only fraternity group we wrestled was the actual frat, like from Toronto. Is that who you're referring to?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know about Duke, but that is my favorite tag team on the indie scene. Like they're great. You know, we actually had our first match at IWC against them, and it was crazy because I mean we were nervous. It was our first night there. We were trying to get a feel for the locker room and the crowd and the promoter, and they're coming in from Toronto. Well, they had some issues getting in with timing and all that stuff, and they showed up about 25 minutes before our match, and we're dressed, we're ready to go, and we have no idea what's going on, and they show up and they're like super cool and calm, collected, and we're over here like, man, like I don't know what's going on, and just talking to them and you know, they're very, they're really good at the tag team thing. They get it. Another thing is there's our first night being face. So we're always a heel tag team everywhere we've gone up until this point. And we're debuting at a new promotion as faces. So they really helped us with that aspect by being extra heel and really getting the crowd to, you know, side with us, even though they were the familiar faces. They're, you know, awesome team to go up against for sure. We had a few battles with them, some crazy ones.
Awesome.
Yeah, we definitely love to get a chance to get in the ring with those guys again. We, like I said, we learned a lot from them. Try to learn everywhere you go, but we learned a lot from. Like I said, that's another team that has a level that you have to meet in the ring or you're not going to, it's not going to be a good night for you. You're not up to snuff and ready to go with the frat.
Yes. Exactly. Y'all had amazing match with King's Ransom, that's also alumni, I guess, to the show also.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. Those guys, they're very impressive, you know, in the ring and, like, their presence. They have a presence about them. And the match that we had, it was in basically like a old, it used to be like a concert hall?
Little theater,
and it's like real intimate, and like the fans were crazy, and that's that whole feeling of that night was like, it was cool, you know, and that's the whole atmosphere. It was like a fight club type atmosphere. They were really close to the ring, and having a chance to face some guys that can act, you know, another team, you know, size wise, three thick guys and that can, you know, do some stuff in the ring is awesome. So it was another great, like you said, amazing match and another great time in there.
Yes. Yeah, they definitely also a regular at OVW wrestling also, Ohio Valley wrestling.
Yep. Yeah, that's what now a farm territory for Impact, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they just announced that.
Yes, they back with OVW. I think they had one in 2013 for a while, for a year and a half, and since they have new management now at OVW, they back.
Okay.
Yes. Definitely with Al Snow, once he bought OVW.
Yeah, sometimes what you need is just a fresh face, you know, running the joint.
Fresh perspective.
Yes. Definitely also, including D'Lo Brown also, also part of the management team also there in Impact Wrestling also.
Yeah, we actually are going to be on a show with D'Lo on May 18th in Altoona, PA. We'll have to bug him.
Exactly, definitely. D'Lo Brown was part of that tag team also with in the Nation of Domination also with Mark Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what type of music, hip hop music, y'all listen to? Also,
you said what type of hip hop music you listen to?
Yes.
Oh man, we listen to everything. Especially on the road, we listen to a lot of music on the road. So yeah, mostly
right.
It's hip hop in the wheel. A lot of Travis Scott, a lot of The Weeknd.
A lot of DMX. Hours upon hours of just DMX. At some point, it always finds its way on, and once it comes on, we'll just play the entire album. Just like, all right, well, here we are. Might as well keep going. And the cool thing about that is if DMX pops up, then we usually go like, all right, well, then let's play some old Jay-Z, or let's play some Pac, or let's play some Biggie, or some Nas. We just get into this whole, you know, late 90s vibe, and that kind of lasts for a while. So depending on how long the travel is, that can eat up a lot of time. But yeah, like Duke said, as far as like modern day stuff, yeah, Travis Scott for sure. Weekend's big. Tory Lanez.
Tory Lanez, yeah.
Some Tory. We'll throw some. Gotta throw some Posty in there every once in a while.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean,
we listen to everything, man.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything
we
dislike. Yeah.
Only thing we don't agree on is the fact that it's Macklemore.
Yeah. For some reason, and I don't know why, but for whatever reason, and it's not that I'm a huge fan of his, but I don't mind him. Ever since I heard him, I was like, I don't mind this white dude. Like, he's not that good, but for some reason, I don't mind him.
He believes in himself.
He does. It's like, it's funny. It's like, oh, he's really out here doing it, like, or trying it. I don't know. He's funny. But yeah, that's not someone I listen to regularly, but I definitely don't mind him. I got the same thing growing up. I always liked Fat Joe. And people be like,
Fat Joe was all right, though.
Yeah, but I liked him even when he wasn't all right. Like, I liked him, after Lean Back. Like, I still was rocking with him for no reason. People like, why do you still like Fat Joe? I'm like, oh, you know, I don't know. I do. I don't know, man.
First and second album, they was the joints right there.
Yeah. And I don't know what happened.
Jose doesn't want to envy. That was the only album I remember.
He kind of went the Flo Rida route and kind of went poppy and like very, like, what can I put on the radio that'll make me money? And you can't knock someone for doing that, you know. There's only, you know, some rappers probably wish they would have did that at some point. Like, I always think, like, like Jadakiss, at some point he probably could have did something like that. Or Cassidy. Like, he dabbled a little bit. I feel like there's certain rappers that were so good, but they stuck to their, like, nah, like, this is what I'm doing. I'm not selling out, so to speak.
They were stuck in the matrix, man.
Yeah.
Right.
So...
Right. Man, I think with Fat Joe, I think Big Pun kind of, with that loss right there, it kind of sort of like hurt him right there, that momentum right there.
Yeah.
For the East Coast.
Definitely. Yeah, because you figure when those two were rocking, you know, Terror Squad was, I mean, they were in the same conversation as all the other rap groups like that. That were coming up, like they were, you know, just as popular and just as, you know, powerful, so to speak. But yeah, when Pun passed, it was kind of like, I don't know about Fat Joe by himself anymore. It's not that appealing, you know.
Right.
And then he made that banger with Donnell Jones.
Yeah.
Right.
And then that song they made a tribute to Pun. That song, that tribute. That put them on, like, forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, but, I mean, the Fat Joe thing is, like, he had to find a lane because what he was doing was only going to last so long.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, he had to pay those bills.
You got to eat something.
And he figured it out. Only problem was Flow Rida took over that whole rap, hip hop type lane, you know what I mean? That stadium music lane.
Man, he took that and ran with it. Like, because I remember him in like Triple C's, like with Rick Ross. Like he used to be like a hood type, you know, dude. And I remember he started doing his little thing with Pitbull and the little WrestleMania type theme songs. And I was like, wait. The Flo Rida, and then from that point, he was like, you know what? This is where the money's at. The club music, you're going to play my songs at the weddings and at graduations. And he's smart for that. I mean,
I give it 10 years. Flo Rida's going to be in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Oh, why would he be?
I believe it. Yeah. Could be next year in Tampa.
Yo, I can see it for sure. Finish.
He's gonna be inducted. That's like, remember when Snoop Dogg was making all these songs for WWE, and all of a sudden he was on shows. Also, Flo Rida ain't no small dude, so he probably could do some stuff in the ring.
He's pretty big.
He can hold his own.
He got some size on him.
Right. Right. And definitely Timberland basically got his name out there for the. Even for the suburban communities, also the ones that be buying most of the music up, basically.
Yeah, I mean that's where it's at. But it's one of those things where you're like, man, you can't even knock them because that's where the money's at. Like, at the end of the day, you know, they're going to be making a lot more money than the mixtape rappers. You know, they might not be as good in the hood as them, but I mean, shoot. Their families are eating.
Gotta pay those bills, baby.
Right. Definitely a must, definitely. And what's your thoughts of the product of WWE today and compared to other promotions like Impact and Ring of Honor?
There's no comparison. WWE is the standard. think everyone knows that. You know what I mean? Like, kids growing up don't say, hey, I want to be on Impact Wrestling. Kids say, hey, I want to main event WrestleMania. But what I will say, though, as far as talent, it's awesome to have places that you can go and wrestle at, other than the WWE, of course, like the flag, the standard is that they need. But now you can go to Impact, you can go to Ring of Honor, you can go to AEW, you can go to Japan. But Japan was always an option. But you can really live and survive on the indies if you do it right.
Kenny Omega is a huge proponent of that.
Yeah. You know, we see people that's done it. I mean, you just gotta, you know, get a nice understanding of who you are and go about it. But I think it's great, man. I mean, the standard is a standard, but Impact, they got a lot of great talent out there. They got Ace Austin, a lot of young guys like the Rascals. They got a lot of great guys out there. A lot of great Brian Cage. We did a similar with him, and he's another young guy that we're kind of younger in the business guy, but been around for a while. But he's still young and he's still hungry. You know what I mean? So it's good to see that, because then that tells us that hey, we can go to Impact and make a living. You know what I mean? Instead of having to go and fight. You know what I mean, to get on the WWE. So it's good to see quality wrestling with younger talent.
Yes, definitely, yes. I agree with that also. And it's like the new ownership of Impact, the Fight Network, their owners, the Aspern family, it's like they have what it takes for Impact to succeed right there with their doing their because they into a lot of sports also to go with it also with and definitely they have a lot of outlets like right now on Pursuit Channel right now, and they got that deal with that and Twitch basically, and it's blowing up basically, and they increase their, you know, their salaries more because of the Pursuit Network, because they own part of the they 50% owners of the network.
Right.
I didn't even know that, man. That's dope.
It's a big deal.
Right. Just like Ring of Honor, Sinclair Broadcasting, basically they the richest media right there, and they it's going to take, I mean, they improving it in their contracts also with their talent also, with bigger deals also now also, and they're going to expand some more also with that ever since that, since they're going to do this Madison Square Garden show.
Yeah, that's going to
be great.
Yes, it's definitely to see another promotion besides WWE in their building for a long time, finally.
Yeah, the game is changing. The game is changing. But
yes,
WrestleMania come every year in a bigger and better, bigger and bigger places and doing bigger and better business, you know what I mean? But for them to be in the Garden during WrestleMania weekend, that's awesome. That's hard
yes.
work.
Definitely it is, Nestle. With both that and New Japan basically having a partnership. And it's like it's more and I just hope more of the TV major networks take notice and stuff, and maybe this be definitely a sign for AEW right there. Once they get that major TV deal affiliate also, like a maybe like a TBS or TNT or the ION network. This could pave way for other promotions to get on major TV, basically.
I would be shocked to see wrestling. It'd be awesome. I'd be shocked to see wrestling on TBS or TNT ever again.
Yes.
If that would happen, that would be amazing. We're talking about amazing. Like, that would be amazing if that ever happened again. In my life.
Yes.
I just don't see it happening.
Yes.
But if it does, that's awesome, man.
Yes, and they've been in rumors so far ever since 2017 and 2018. They was interested in wrestling, like even with Billy Corgan's NWA wrestling, it was rumors they was looking at them also, including Impact Wrestling also. Their hat was in it from last year about a new TV deal that they was one of the suitors also. True TV or TNT, I think one of them basically.
Yeah.
Also, what's your thoughts on Kofi Kingston possibly being the first black WWE champion, 100% black champion?
That's awesome. I mean, it's well overdue, I feel. It's weird. Every time I say that, I always try and think back, like, you know, who could I have absolutely actually even seen hold that title? So, you know, Kofi's definitely one of them. I feel at some point Shelton could have held it. MVP's another one, obviously. I'm a little biased there. I think Lashley, back when he had his first run, they gave him the ECW, but that, I mean, I don't count it. So, I think if it happens, that's a huge win for us, for sure. No,
that's it.
My only hope is that if he wins, he pulls out a black glove like Jesse Owens and poses in the middle of the ring. That's what I need to have it.
Yeah, we definitely want to see that basically right there. And I guess
we'll see what happens.
Right.
We'll see what happens.
Yes. And they. You know, because they didn't acknowledge Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, when he won his WWE champion for the first time as an African American or nothing like that. They didn't acknowledge that
Well, I mean, the people that know. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, we met his dad. Dad's black. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
He's a black Samoan, so he doesn't deny that he never denied it. You know what I mean? The thing about it is like the marketing thing. You know, they didn't really say he was black, white, or indifferent. But I mean, we know that he was. We recognize him as being black. He recognizes
yes.
himself as being black. You know, and being Samoan.
Right.
To me, the person that I always thought should have been the champion was Booker T. He held the belt, but it wasn't the top belt of the company. But
yeah.
At the same time, he was the because the first quote unquote black heavyweight champion, you know, all that. Like, you know, it goes years back, but we haven't had one recently. some years, but I still always look at Booker T. Should have been the flag bearer, so to speak, because he was during that time he was the best next to Triple H.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? He was the best next to Triple H. There was no, it was him and Triple H.
Yeah, and it's crazy, you know, after he, when he did the whole King of the Ring thing and was King Booker and won the World Heavyweight, it's one of those things where if he was on the other show, he might have won the WWE title.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just like the stars just never aligned for it. Like, it just, same thing with Bobby Lashley. He was on ECW, so they gave him the ECW Heavyweight, and by the time he was in a position to win anything else, he was gone. So it's so weird how it keeps working out like that. But, yeah, and I don't think you can take that away from The Rock. I mean, I feel like he has to be looked at as the first black champ only because, you know, we look at Barack Obama as the first black president. He's half and half. You know,
right.
you can't say, well, he's not the first black president. No, he is. But to Duke's point, The Rock was not marketed as a black guy. He was marketed as a Samoan guy, Samoan heritage, part of the lineage of the Samoan dynasty. Like, it was they brought up that Rocky was his dad, but it was always like a sidebar thing. Like, it was it's weird how they did it like that. But there's no denying Kofi. If he wins that, no swerve you can put on it. Like, that's
right. I'll call it the Tiger Woods effect, basically, for the Rock, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And Booker T actually brought that up in a recent interview, that he don't consider him as the first black champion. He just called it the Tiger Woods thing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tony Atlas was saying...
That was a point.
Yes. Yes, Tony Atlas was saying the same thing, basically, and that they don't consider him as the first black champion and stuff right there because of that. Because they even other ones, you know, from the indie scene was saying that they're backstage at Dirty in the past, and that they were saying Samoan first, basically. They put a Samoan first right there, and the only time they acknowledge him being black is when it's the Image Awards, NAACP Image Awards of Dr. King birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's
right.
That's when they portrayed Dwayne Johnson is that also, and even when in the Nation of Domination right there.
Yeah, I mean, Owen Hart was in the Nation of Domination.
Yeah,
so
2013 was the Nation of Domination too.
So it wasn't necessarily a black group like everyone. I mean, that was like it's at its core, but at the same time, I mean.
Right.
WWE did what they wanted with it. But no, I agree. I mean, and I'm biracial myself, so I feel like you always identify with one race more. And I don't know if we're all correct on this, but it just feels like The Rock is Samoan first, if that makes sense.
Right.
Even though that's not how science works, that's not biology, but I feel like that's how everyone looks at him, is he's Samoan who's also black and not the other way around.
Right.
So... let's go Kofi.
Right. Right, exactly. And I noticed that his cousins, some you know, on the Samoan side, they, you know, some of them consider themselves as black also.
That's just upbringing and
because
like we know him, we know. We ain't gonna pull out there and we know the family, quote unquote, but we've wrestled with and against, you know, Lance Anoa'i. And, you know, if you talk to Lance, if you talk to him on the phone, you wouldn't know he was black or Samoan, you know what I mean? That's just that's just the swag they connect with. You know what I mean? That's just the culture they connect with.
Same with the Usos.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
yeah,
they connect with that. And we connect, like, when I look at the Usos, I connect with the New Day. Like, I connect with those two guys, even though they're from two separate cultures. But it's,
Samoa Joe's the same.
Yeah.
He opens his mouth, and you're like, oh, shit, okay. I remember the first time I heard him, heard a promo from him down at, you know, TNA Impact. He started talking. I was like, is my TV broke? Like, who's talking right now? Is this... I'm like, dang. So I had to, I'm like, dang, okay. So this is just, this is it. This is Samoa Joe. This is how it gets down. And you see that a lot in, yeah, like, you know, with the Usos and, you know, it's, I don't know, not so much with Roman, but they kind of have their upbringing, and it definitely shows in their body language and the way they talk and things like that.
Right. And basically, even Rikishi and the Tonga Kid, when they was, you know, telling their stories about their family, and they were saying that basically, you know, they grew up, in a black urban neighborhood, along with Yokozuna, because he came from the streets, basically. He straight, he was like, gangster, basically. You know, he was listening to Tupac most of the time. Yeah.
Right. I mean, his name was Rodney, so.
Right, Rodney, yeah. Rodney Anoa, yeah.
So it's like, I mean, of course he has to do the gimmick, but I've heard, you know, other interviews with him talking, and it was like, you can't tell, but, you know what I mean, you can't tell, you know. And,
right.
Like, Yokozuna was one of my favorite wrestlers because he was just dominating. You know what I mean?
Right.
A dominating character. I like dominating characters. Yokozuna
right.
was
dominating.
Right. But he did his thing in there.
Exactly. And I basically, when I first saw Harlem Heat, I thought of Booker T was sort of like the character, a little bit of Wesley Snipes, a little bit also. He had some Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, because he was athletic and the martial arts.
Yes, exactly. Yes. I even compared him to the characters that Full Force did in House Party 1 and 2 also.
Yeah.
Right, and they was basically, you know, I can relate to them. They was, intimidating, and they basically, the crew basically, they drew a lot of audience basically back to wrestling once they debuted in WCW.
You know, that's the first time anyone I've talked to have made a comparison to Flow Force and Harlem Heat. That's kind of dope, man. I see where you did that. I see where you got that from. Cause they're both, they're all of them huge. I mean, Full Force not like same 6'5", you know, they're all muscular guys. Yeah, bullies. Take all the way back to House Party. That's kind of dope.
Right.
I wasn't even
and
thinking
Stevie,
that way.
Right, and Stevie Ray actually acknowledged it when I did an interview with him a couple years ago, basically about that, and he, you know, they. You know, they used to listen to Full Force also. And they, you know, they picked up, you know, some of their, styles when they was doing acting also.
Yeah, I definitely see that. Now that you say it, I definitely see more of that.
And would y'all like to plug any of your upcoming shows and appearances for the listeners out there?
Absolutely. This weekend we're heading up to New York, New Jersey. This Friday we will be, April 4th, we will be at Black Craft No Apologies. It's part of the collective with Game Changer Wrestling. I forgot the name of the hall. I think it's Eagle Hall.
Eagle Hall.
Eagle Memorial Hall out there in Jersey, New Jersey. The show starts at 11:59. We're part of the Tag Team Gauntlet for the Black Craft Tag Team Championships that is held currently by OVE. That's Ohio versus Everybody. Ohio is for Killers, those guys, you know, the Chris Brothers, that's on Impact Wrestling as well. Saturday, we will be in Brooklyn, New York for Uncanny Attractions, and that's at the House of Yes. I believe that show starts at 7?
6:30.
You can, if you can't make it out there to Brooklyn, you can't make it out there to Jersey, you can watch it all, stream it all on the Fight app and also on blackcraft.com and blackcraftwrestling.com. And what else we got going? What else we got?
And then, the very next weekend, so April 12th, 13th, and 14th, we're back at it again. April 12th, we're at in Lamont Furnace, PA, for Rise Wrestling. Then April 13th, we're up in Meadville for Night of the Superstars 8, where we team up with MVP in a six-man tag. So that should be a lot of fun. And then on the 14th, we are in Salem, Ohio, wrestling for Quaker City Wrestling. And, so that's a little bit of a newer promotion for us. So, so we're busy this weekend in New York, and the following weekend we got three in a row. So always staying busy.
Yes. And I'll definitely be up there in Jersey and New York for that WrestleMania weekend. Hopefully I'll definitely be attending one of your shows there also.
Awesome. Yeah, hit us up.
All right. Yes, definitely a lot of work for y'all coming up.
Yes, sir. Got to stay busy. Got to stay active. Got to stay lit.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Definitely, ladies and gentlemen, go out there to meet the main event of all tag teams.
Yes, sir. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter, the main event, also on Facebook, the main event. Stay connected.
Yes. That's the truth, definitely. And definitely, you never know. Y'all might be in the major companies coming up soon. Because this show has been a good luck charm for a lot of indie wrestlers also.
Sweet. We'll take it.
We'll take it.
It seems like they have the... Their scouts must be listening to podcast radio shows. They're probably, fellas, it's an honor for you to be on here. You can come back to the show anytime.
Awesome. I'll just take you up on that.
Yes, definitely. About anything, sports, music, whatever. Your upcoming shows or feuds.
Sweet, yeah, for sure. We'll definitely be back.
Yes, y'all have a good night.
Thanks. You as well, sir.
You too, man. Awesome.
All right. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Tag Team Main Event. Duke Davis and Jones Jr. Yes, the main event Then you're on fire, ladies and gentlemen. And if you want to download this main event interview, it's up at blogtalkradio.com/WrestlingItFactorRadio or on Facebook fan page at WrestlingItFactorRadio.com or our that's right now that's on hiatus. You can go to the Facebook page, fan page, the other one at Wrestling It Factor Radio / It Factor Entertainment Radio for Wayne Benitez and the rest of the staff. Wishing you all a good night. Later.
Go ahead, pop off, me and my clique put on. I'm like a young McMahon, I'm here to get your bitch off. Like I'm Ric Flair, little finger to the big boss. Man, aka police, get them over your head like it's all. Chill these niggas, that's no problem. Chill these niggas, want no problem. That chopper body like Hornswoggle, can't see you shot him like Sin Cara. Rolling rap with that shit loud, it ain't mine if that shit not. Ladies hate when I rip rude, but they in love with this Jake. It's like nah, say hello to my python. I'm CM Punk with that mic, y'all. She go to sleep, cause my pipe bomb. Winning, bless that be hurting feelings. Niggas see Curtis Axel, my rap is like Kurt Hennig. In it, don't it? I'm such a charmer. Come crown Vic. Not talking whip, I'm thinking Lawler. Cause I'm royalty. But we talking cars, it's not a problem. Just bought two big bodies, call them Kamala and Umaga. What up? You're talking to the back guy. My gang real, but I ain't never been no vampire. Look at all that ice he got on. Bigger than that icy title. Picking up my pill, man, cause I still feel like I'm flying Brian. Who high as I am? Who fly as I am? Life is a bitch, when you this rich is more than life in China. Get it? Strong ass hoe. They can say they want that smoke. Well, I'm Papa Shango. I'll be hopper playing low. Get the ganja, no steamboat. And I fly as a crossbody, but I'm tired of saying so. So I do so with new producers and a slew of my latest verses. And a ruthless like Rusev move, I'll be through with you niggas first. Get back to work. You're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. I'm too sweet. I dare you niggas act fly. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Tooth picking your eyes. I'm that guy. Hey, y'all. Look. Something happened to me, something happened to you, okay? Hey, y'all. Don't look like no Daniel B where they seeing me every day. Look, hey yo. Something happened to me, something happened to you, okay? Hey yo. You counting your little B's, my nigga, my G's mo. Gonna bother you with this rhyming, man. I'm five at niggas with rhyming. Heard they talking right from the sideline, like a part of me been declining. Nigga, argue often with liars. Beside that, I got no choice. Rather be Heath Slater before I make it his doink. My point, I'd rather job than have my morals expired. Niggas getting back they brosses, I ain't toured in a while. Is you mad or nah? Is you rapping her out? She wrapped my cigar. Light it up because I'm grateful I just made it this far. God is pale in comparison. It's a shame, it's a problem. I'm so over forever. Now my stadium is pop. Niggas sweet like they really real, but be faker than raw. Oh nah, they flaw. I got it. Oh please, Dwayne Johnson been number two around these parts. Oh nah, you know why? Cause most of my OGs in the 80s made a movie with Rock. Stop. Stop. You're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. I'm too sweet. I dare you niggas act fly. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Toothpick in your eye, boy, don't ask why.